Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Canto 3, Chapter 13, Text 43. Kashradadan vitanyatamas tava prabho. Rasamgataya bhuva udvibharanam. Vishmayo so twai vishva vismaye.
Vishmayo so twai vishva vismaye.
Yo maya yedam sasrije ti vismayam. Kaha. Who else? Shraddhita. Can endeavor. Anyatama. Anyone besides yourself. Tava. Your. Prabho. O Lord. Rasam. In the water. Gatayaha. While lying in. Bhuvaha. Of the earth. Udvibaharanam. Deliverance. Na. Never. Vismayaha. Wonderful. Aso. Such an act. Twayi. Unto you. Vishva. Universal. Vismaye. Full of wonders. Yaha. One who. Mayaya. By potencies. Idam. This. Sasrije. Created. Ati Vismayam. Surpassing all wonders. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Who else but you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, could deliver the earth from within the water? It is not very wonderful for you, however, because you acted most wonderfully in the creation of the universe. By your energy, you have created this wonderful cosmic manifestation. Please repeat. Who else but you?
Who else but you?
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Could deliver the earth from within the water.
It is not very wonderful for you, however.
Because you acted most wonderfully in the creation of the universe. By your energy, you've created this wonderful cosmic manifestation. Purport. When a scientist discovers something impressive to the ignorant mass of people, the common man, without inquiry, accepts such a discovery as wonderful. But the intelligent man is not struck with wonder by such discoveries. He gives all credit to the person who created the wonderful brain of the scientist. A common man is also struck with wonder by the wonderful action of material nature, and he gives all credit to the cosmic manifestation. The learned Krishna conscious person, however, knows well that behind the cosmic manifestation is the brain of Krishna, as is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9.10, Maya Jakshena Prakriti Suyate Satcharacharam. Since Krishna can direct the wonderful cosmic manifestation, it is not at all wonderful for him to assume the gigantic form of a boar and thus deliver the earth from the mire of the water. A devotee is therefore not astonished to see the wonderful boar, because he knows that the Lord is able to act far more wonderfully by His potencies, which are inconceivable to the brain of even the most erudite scientist. Who else but you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, could deliver the earth from within the water? It is not very wonderful for you, however, because you acted most wonderfully in the creation of the universe. By your energy, you have created this wonderful cosmic manifestation. Vinod Thakur, he wrote a poem in that he included a verse where he describes that the manifestation or the creation of this material world is like the show of a magic lantern, which is all shadows and optical illusions. A magic lantern, by the way, that was when the first movies appeared, the projection of images, if you like, separate from their object. Then that was during the time of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and they used to have what was called the magic lantern shows. Srila Prabhupada told me in Vrindavan, we were in his garden one evening, and he recalled as a child how he was watching the magic lantern shows. So it's a projection of an image, and the image, of course, is not actually the object. It's different. And of course, nowadays, with digitization in the movies, etc., you can create illusions of objects which don't actually even exist. You simply take different elements, and then by some clever manipulation, then you can create a whole world, yeah, or a whole universe, or a person that doesn't actually exist. It's just an optical illusion. It's all a play of light and shadow, that's all. Yeah, different variations of colors. And then when you're watching it, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you can spend your whole life, day after day, watching this show and not achieving any purpose. Yeah, it just goes by you. You're just simply watching as an observer. But what is your actual purpose? What is your actual gain from watching this cosmic show? That's the real question, and any intelligent man should focus their intelligence on that. That where am I? Where am I going? What is this atmosphere that I'm living in? And what is it to be that is to be gained from that? So that, everybody's bewildered. The scientists, they're studying the material universes, and everything that they study is always changing. So in that sense, their study is a fruitless endeavor, because as soon as they've written something down about what they've observed, provided that they've observed it even correctly anyway, it's already changed. That means then you've got to write it again. So in that way, the writing is endless. Yeah? Sankhya, Prabhupada said, means counting. And the material scientists are simply counting the phenomena that they're observing in their immediate and extended atmosphere. That's all. They look around them. They look what they think is within them. They look under the oceans. They look in the air. They look in the land. They look in the sky. And they're simply writing down. Yeah, counting whatever they observe. But even then, what is their power of observation? That they're also bewildered about. Yeah? The uncertainty principle says that if you observe something, you actually can't record it down without recording down the fact that it was being observed by you. Yeah? If you just try to write down, this object is like this, but if you don't factor in the observation of the observer, his ability to observe it, even just observing something means it will be affected. That object will be affected by the observer. So you have to account for that too, and therefore everything is uncertain. That's the problem. Nothing is fixed in this material world. Everything is very much uncertain, and everybody's always in a state of bewilderment. Therefore, it's not surprising that even the creator of the universe, Lord Brahma, was bewildered when this small object came out of his nose. Yeah? And then immediately manifests into this gigantic form of a boar. He couldn't understand what is going on here. This is not part of, you know, the arrangements that I have made. I have some power. I've been creating so many planets and, you know, manifesting from my body different personalities who are also creating many different species of life to populate this universe. But here's something that has just suddenly appeared without my even knowing about it. I have no power over it. So what is it? And he's bewildered. So anything in relation to the material universe is always bewildering. We'll never actually understand it, no matter how many times we try to write everything down and record it. That's why it's very difficult to build the temple of the Vedic Planetarium. Because what we're trying to show there is a representation of Krishna's material universe. But we know full well that we can only show that to a very, very limited degree. And that any intelligent person will come and they'll look at that and say, yes, but what about this? You've shown this, but what about that? Yeah. So then there's a challenge. So ultimately the Vaishnavas, to escape bewilderment, they have to anchor their intelligence, they anchor their consciousness at the lotus feet of Krishna. He is the ultimate reality. That if you go through all these different cosmic manifestations, but you don't come to the ultimate reality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then yeah, it's a bewilderment and you'll always be mesmerized and wasting your time. You'll spend lifetime after lifetime, millions of years. In the Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma also says that even if you can travel at the speed of the mind, you can go for trillions and billions of lifetimes at that speed, but you'll not catch the lotus feet of Krishna. He's so far and above and beyond, you know, this cosmic manifestation. So the lotus feet of Krishna, because it says Nitai Pada Kamala, Koti Chandra, Shushi Pala. Yeah, that the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda Prabhu are as cool and as soothing as millions of moons. And one should not think that the lotus feet, having captured the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, that they are also illusions. They're not. There's a difference between the Lord and his cosmic manifestation. So in the same way, when we read about the description of Lord Paul, that actually is not an illusion. That form of the Lord is a reality. It's an eternal principle, if you like. Although, of course, Krishna assumes different forms, but whatever forms he assumes are all principles of this original Swayamrupa, or eternal form. And as such, those are the forms that are also eternal realities. What they're connected with, of course, may not be. Just like Lord Varaha, he's appearing in the material world in that form of as a boar to rescue the earth from the Garbhadakshay ocean. But that ocean, that earth, the universe he's appearing in are all illusions. They're all temporary manifestations. Even in this chapter it's mentioned that there's a mixing up of two different appearances of the Lord from two different appearances of manner. So they've been merged together. That means that the form of the cosmic manifestation as it was in one Manu's reign is not necessarily the same as the cosmic manifestation in the next ones or the next ones or the next ones. They can be adjusted. It's not that everything again comes back to exactly the same situation. There may be more planets or less planets. Yeah? And those planets themselves may show different features than they did previously in another previous Manu's incarnation or appearance. So the situation that Lord Varaha is being related to is also temporary, it's illusory. But that doesn't mean that Lord Varaha himself is an illusion. Just like in our situation, we relate ourselves to so many objects around us, and so many personalities, and so many different situations. But both what we relate ourselves to and what we think ourselves to be are illusions. There's nothing real about any of the exchange. Yeah? Just like we may know somebody very nicely, and then all of a sudden they die. So where is the relationship anymore? the body is burnt or put in the ground, or it's eaten by, you know, worms and jackals or whatever. So we were building a relationship with that person on the basis of that form that we thought that they were, and on the basis of the form that we think we are. And then in due course of time that is disrupted, and the whole thing is proved to be an illusion. The body falls down. Where's that person gone? I had a conversation the other day with one of our youth, who was a close friend of this boy Krishnadas, who drowned in the Ganga. So he was very naturally upset, because they were very close friends. They'd grown up together for a number of years. They'd shared so many, you know, activities, had so many exchanges between themselves. And that was the basis of his relationship, that seeming reality, yeah, of two friends. But then, in a moment, what is left of that relationship, what is left of that reality? I asked him, I said, just meditate on the point at which he was leaving his body. He's lying in the water, he's drowning. He's in the Ganga, he's in the dam. Then he disappears for some time, then they pull up the body, no life left within it. So where is the life gone? What was happening at that moment when that life was leaving that body? You think that's your friend lying in the water and you're lamenting. But where is your friend now? At that moment when he was about to leave his body, then who is it that came to take him away? He's in the Ganga, he's in the Dham. For sure, at least he's gone to the heavenly planets. That's, you know, it's stated in the Shastra. Anybody that leaves their body, or even has their ashes put into the Ganges is a transcendental river, so that soul goes actually to the higher planetary systems, and they enjoy for many, many years. So at least we know that much has happened. That means that the moment when that, the person you thought was your friend, at that moment when he was leaving, that means he was being escorted either by Ganga Devi or by her associates, and he's been taken from that situation and moved to another one, and a better one than the one that he was already in. And maybe, depending on his condition of his consciousness, he may have even gone back to Godhead. So you're lamenting, but he's not. So what do you know of reality? So this is our situation. Yeah, we base everything on the observation that we make through our senses and mind and intellect. And, you know, we relate so many different objects to ourselves, but most of the time we're bewildered about what our real self is, and we're certainly bewildered about what the real self of others are. So what do we really know, and what purpose have we actually gained from our associating ourselves with those objects and with those personalities? We're living our lives day by day, working very hard, yeah, to maintain those relationships. Everybody's doing that. But to what purpose, Bhaktivinoda Thakur asks? Every day is passed and nothing is gained. If it's all on the basis, you know, of thinking that the self is this body or is part of this cosmic manifestation, this is our problem. That doesn't mean that because we see, or everything that we see around us and relate to around us, and because that is an illusion, that therefore there is no reality. Yeah. There is a point of observation, or there is a point at which observation is made from. So what is that point? That has to be understood. Yeah. Before you know everything else, you have to know yourself. So therefore the Bhagavatam immediately, Bhagavad Gita, it immediately focuses in on what reality is as distinguished from illusion. That's the statement of the very first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. To distinguish reality from illusion. To know the real self. To know what we are as living beings, as conscious entities. Then we can move ahead and make some progress in our activities, in our current existence. It's not that because this body is an illusion and this world around us is an illusion, there's nothing to be done. The problem is that we're trapped in that illusion. So the real progress is how we get out of illusion. That's the only progress. The progress is not in growing up. It's not in maintaining the body. It's not in maintaining the relationships. It's not in maintaining the earth. Right? The big ecological push. Yeah, let's maintain everything so we can enjoy it. You know, no, this is not progress. Real progress means getting out of illusion. It means, first of all, understanding the difference between illusion and reality. And therefore, Prabhupada defines that point as being intelligence. The definition of intelligence means the ability to distinguish reality from illusion. If you can do that, you're actually intelligent. And if you can't do that, you're not. You're bewildered. So all these big scientists with seemingly big intelligence, yeah, writing so many hundreds and millions of volumes, yeah, about their observations and publicizing them in the newspapers every day, and, you know, making their planetariums or their science museums, yeah, all to test.